Welcome to the Girl Scout Advantage podcast, a podcast where we educate, empower, and share the stories of the Girl Scout experience. Join us to rediscover the magic of leadership, teamwork, and personal discovery. The Girl Scout Advantage, a podcast where you will learn how the Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan creates successful girls for today who will become the leaders of our tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Girl Scout Advantage podcast. I'm your host, Brenna West, and I am super excited today to be chatting with Stacey Siever, who is one of our incredible volunteers. Stacey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get us started, would you mind just telling our audience a little bit about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a Girl Scout since I was six. It'll be 40 years this fall. And then, so I've been a troop leader. I'm also a facilitator, trainer for Girl Scouts. So coaching new leaders in becoming better leaders and that sort of thing. And then I'm also one of the area treasurers in Ann Arbor. And outside of scouting, I'm married. I've been married for 23 years and I have two daughters who are 18 and 14. And then for a living, I work for Citibank. I'm a credit risk policy manager there and have been with that company for just shy of 20 years.
Awesome. Very cool. So tell us about when your Girl Scout journey started. You know, you're a six-year-old. Like, what was it like for you as a Girl Scout growing up?
Yeah, so I was really lucky. My mom was my troop leader from first through fifth grade. Daisy Girl Scouts just didn't exist yet. So there wasn't an opportunity to start in kindergarten. So I started in first grade. My mom was my troop leader. And it was sort of like almost every girl in my school was part of scouting. So it was kind of a social experience. But then we also got to do all sorts of fun adventures that were girl-led. You know, it was all the stuff that we picked that we wanted to do. So you know, we sewed aprons and we went horseback riding and we went, you know, on hikes and did other craft things and just, you know, generally had a good time. And then in middle school, the troop got a little bit smaller. And so my mom stopped leading at that point and she still participated with Girl Scouts, but stopped being a troop leader. So I got the opportunity to move into a more citywide troop that was led by two amazing women, Marty Schuster and Pat Raschert. And with that troop, they were both super avid outdoors women. And so we got a lot of more camping experience. I got to go and learn how to sail on Lake St. Clair. I can't even think of all the cool adventures that we went on, but just tons of stuff. And then went into senior scouting, a troop leader named Joe Reed, who was the same thing where it was a citywide troop. We went on an adventure when I was in, I think, 9th or 10th grade to go to Nuestra Cabana in Mexico. So we did this like week and a half long adventure down in Mexico. I learned how to do all the car stuff, you know, like my family doesn't do that kind of thing. And so like learned how to, you know, change my tires and change the oil and, you know, all that kind of jazz. And just at that point, we also started doing a lot more leadership for younger scouts. So I planned a bunch of encampment weekends where we'd have kids come out and spend the whole weekend at camp doing activities that we had planned. So it was a really cool opportunity to be able to start into a more formal leadership structure too, as an older scout.
It sounds like you had some incredible experiences as a Girl Scout. What were some of your favorite things that you got out of your experience?
Yeah, one of the things that I got as a scout and continue to get as an adult is just as people in general, we're usually in the bubbles that we're comfortable in. You know, like the folks around us look like us and act like us and, you know, have the same values and all that kind of stuff. And in scouting, you end up meeting so many people from so many different areas of life. And, you know, there's a sort of like leaning into a tolerance that you're supposed to have a tolerance of other people. And I really don't like that concept because to me, that's more like putting up with something rather than like actually embracing and really enjoying and loving what other people bring to the table that you just have never heard about or experienced or whatever. So like specifically when we went to Mexico, we were in communities that I just had never experienced as a kid before that were frankly lower income than anything I had seen or experienced anywhere in the US. And then on top of it, we met scouts from other countries as well. When I was there, there were some from Trinidad and Tobago and a couple scouts from France and some from Spain. And so just to hear what they did with their life was really a unique opportunity to be able to hear that sort of thing. And as an adult, that continues. You know, I'm in Ann Arbor, which is sort of a bit of a bubble community. And so even just within our council, there's folks who have really, really different life experiences than the folks you meet here in Ann Arbor. So it continues to be a really just amazing gift through scouting that way.
Yeah, that is so cool. You know, when you first started talking about your bubble, I was thinking of like your comfort zone bubble and like, you know, doing things, trying new things that are outside your comfort zone. But to your point, you know, meeting people who are so different from you, it's one of the most powerful parts of Girl Scouting, you know, being in community with people who are so different from you and finding those ways that maybe you're more alike than you might expect.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you tried so many new things too you're Girl Scout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Again, same thing, both as a youth scout and then now as an adult part of Girl Scouting. Well, I'm one of those people that's always up for an adventure. So, you know, like if you want to do something crazy, then I'm a person to call to do that. But on top of it, Girl Scouting provides access to so many different opportunities that you just don't see otherwise. You know, I was sort of joking about how my family is not mechanically inclined at all. But, you know, one of the other dads of a scout in my troop as a senior was an auto mechanic. So he took on going and teaching all of us. It was called the auto maintenance badge at the time, now car care badge. But you know, same thing. He walked us through all those steps and taught us every piece of that. And another family were avid sail people. I don't know what you call that, people who sail boats. So they took us out sailing. And now as an adult, the stuff that we're able to do within our troops, you know, like I've gone with my two daughters' troops as leading both of them. I've gone whitewater rafting. I've gone zip lining. We took a trip to Peru last summer. I've tried backpacking and fallen in love with backpacking and been able to take adventures outside of scouting, doing backpacking all over the country, you know, and just there quite literally is no end to what adventure you want to take on. It's just a matter of being able to be inspired and do it. And, you know, the scouts in the troops provide so much inspiration because they have these really big dreams. And I think all of my troops would tell you that when we start planning for a big trip, they're like, well, what's our limitations? I'm like, there aren't any. It's the only limitation might be how long it takes us to save to do that trip or to, you know, be able to create that. But, you know, you want to go to the moon? Okay, I'm not quite sure how we'd figure that out, but we'll figure it out, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's how we ended up in Peru last summer. You know, it was just, okay, sure, let's do that. You know, that's kind of how all of it happens, just adventure and go, you know?
Yeah. I love hearing about your experience with travel and adventure specifically. I think it's one of those areas that people don't realize that Girl Scouts do.
Yeah.
People think that Girl Scouts do cookies, crafts, and camping. And like those three things are a huge part of who we are. And we are so much more than that too. What are some of the things that you feel like you have learned or your girls have learned because of your traveling and adventure experiences?
You know, it was really cool. My oldest troop, they just graduated high school for the most part and are headed off to their next adventures in the fall. And so we went to Chicago this last spring as our sort of last hurrah as a troop together. And, you know, I started to get a little choked up, but one of the girls, she goes, you know, I'm the best cashier at my job right now. And I said, oh, that's so cool. That's really awesome that you're able to do that. And she said, you know, it's because I've been counting money at the cookie booths for years. And, you know, it's like, I wouldn't have thought of that. You know, obviously it's a life skill to learn how to count money. It's not that big of a deal. But there's so many of those little ingrained things that we've learned throughout scouting that these kids take with them forever. Frankly, even just sounds really simplistic, but just the base level of being able to plan a vacation or a big trip like that and, you know, go through and be like, okay, how are we going to get there? Are we going to fly? Are we going to drive? Are we going to take a train? Where are we going to stay? Are we going to do a hotel? Are we going to go in a hostel? Are we going to tent camp? Are we going to find somebody's couch to surf on? I don't know. You know, what activities do we want to do once we're there? And so many people, and I'm not trying to knock a travel agent because of course that's a great profession to be in, but so many people are like, you must automatically go do that. And like, you really don't have to, you can plan whatever kind of adventure you want. And that skill set applies across the board to anything that you want to take on. If you want to start a business, you know, then you go and, okay, well, what's your business plan? What kind of product do you want to have? How do you want to, you know, how are you going to fundraise, gain money to be able to start that business? The same sort of logical process that you can apply to literally anything as these girls go out there. And so now that with this particular troop that's rising into college and or their next adventure, a lot of college kids I hear are struggling trying to figure out what their schedule should look like and how do I get to the career path that I want. And these scouts that have been part of the troops, they know how to do that. They're just like, oh, here, there's the list of stuff I have to do. Okay, well, let's figure this out. All right. There's the actual skill set, but then there's the confidence in knowing that you can accomplish that and that they have that within themselves. They don't have to go to somebody else to be able to do that.
Absolutely. We're doing a lot of research right now in Girl Scout world about empowering girls and what, obviously that's who we are. It's what we do.
Yeah.
But kids today face really unique challenges that children have never faced before. And there's this significant increase in children who don't have these problem solving skills, don't have this confidence in themselves to get through a minor challenge like figuring out how to get to their class or how to count change, you know. And I mean, your point is so important because these are skills that girls learn during Girl Scouts. And while they're just having so much fun with their friends, and it really sets them up for success and sets them apart from others, which is so powerful. It's like one of the things that makes me so proud about our program that we offer for girls.
Yeah, it is really an incredible opportunity for anybody to take mm-hmm. home.
So at what point, Stacey, did you decide, okay, I'm going to be a Girl Scout volunteer? Like, take us through your volunteer journey. You know, where did it start? How'd you get to where you are today with 3 troops?
Yeah. So I actually started, I mentioned that as a senior scout, I had started planning some encampment weekends and whatnot for younger scouts to come and attend. And so I kind of, and volunteerism is very important to my whole family. And so I pretty much knew I was going to be volunteering, just a matter of what capacity. So when I went to college in Chicago, my sophomore year, I was like, I'm just not out there in the community enough for myself. Not that, you know, there's any like right level to be at, but just what I wanted in life. I wasn't out volunteering enough. I started co-leading a troop in my sophomore year of college. I was 18 and just started going. And there was a church that I volunteered out of where the scouts kind of cycled through. You didn't stay with a troop. The troop leaders stayed at the grade level that they were leading and the scouts would move up. So I was co-leading a junior troop there. And that particular troop, scouts had never had the opportunity to do much outdoors activities because that whole collection of leaders, that just wasn't their passion. And well, I wasn't as passionate about being outdoors as I am now, but I still enjoyed it. And so we took those kids on adventures out into Starved Rock and up into Wisconsin and stuff where there's some forested areas. For some of those guys, they had literally never been in that physical environment before. They, you know, we were in Chicago proper. So they were just used to, you know, city life. And so being able to share that with them was really cool. And, you know, there were a few years there where I wasn't leading because I was starting a new career and moving back here to Michigan. And then I started back up again when my oldest daughter was in first grade. And now the co-leader for that troop, Abby, is one of my best friends. And then started another troop when my next daughter was ready to start. Same thing with my co-leader, Alice. They're two of my favorite people in the world, meeting so many amazing adults and kids along the way. And then the third troop that I just started recently, I was recognizing that my older troop was going to be, you know, completing just because they're all adults now. So we won't have a troop together anymore. And I had been noticing around in our council that there were some scouts that were in their home troops, like whether that be through their school or religious organization or whatever, that were looking for more outdoor opportunities than what they were getting in their current troops, either because their leaders weren't up for it or because the rest of the troop wasn't up for it, however that worked out, but they just wanted more. And I love being outdoors. I've just developed a huge passion for it over the last 6 or 7 years. And so I started up the Trailblazer troop last fall, and we've had, I think it's 15 or 16 scouts join us for various activities throughout the year to do some more adventuring and hiking, backpacking, all that good stuff. We're looking to do some more paddling stuff this fall, so it should be good.
Awesome. So if someone completely unfamiliar with like how a Trailblazer type troop functions, can you kind of explain that? Like, do you have to, you know, quit your home troop? Like, can you be part of both? Like, can you just explain that for someone who would be unfamiliar?
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, every Trailblazer troop can function a little bit however they choose to function. So you can have that be your one and only troop if you want. I've opted to keep it so that you can stay with your home troop and also be a Trailblazer as well, because I think that it's important to stay in your geographic community or religious community or whatever it is. The Trailblazers isn't meant to compete with the scouting experience. It's meant to enhance the scouting experience. And so for me, that's what we've been doing with this troop. A bunch of the scouts have been coming to every single activity, and some of them can only make a few of the activities. And, you know, for me, it's an open door. Like, I just want to be able to provide the outdoor opportunity. If you want it, come get it. So that's how this specific Trailblazer troop is running.
Awesome. That's so cool. Yeah. And what like sparked this, you know, you mentioned 6 or 7 years ago, you really got very into the great outdoors. It sounds like, you know, it was part of your Girl Scout journey all along, but like, what inspired this really significant spark in your interest?
Yeah, ironically enough, my older troop was going out to earn the cadet badge called Trailblazer. And so in order to earn that, it's not a requirement that you go backpacking for a night, but it's sort of like that. That's the natural thing that would happen if you are earning that badge. So these scouts wanted to earn that badge and earn their outdoor journey. And so we went backpacking, and I'm not going to lie, several of the kids were like, no, thank you, that I'm glad I experienced this and I'm done. I don't need to do it again. But for me, we were out there, I'm like, this is so cool. I just wanted to do more. And so I just kind of started checking out other backpacking adventures, some with scouts and some outside of scouts. And then because I like every time I go, I just love it even more and more and more. It for me personally, it's just a grounding experience when I'm out in nature, being able to be, I'm obviously a little high speed as a normal way of being. You can tell from the speed of my voice, but that's just how I am as a normal functioning person. But being outdoors, it just, I can feel my shoulders relax and I just feel a little more at peace and grounded than in other places. And I love to be able to share that because I know that a lot of the scouts find that same experience when they come out and play in nature.
Two things that you said that like totally stick out to me, and I really want to make sure we touch on. One is that you mentioned like your co-leaders and how special they are. They're some of your favorite humans, I think you said. And the second one is, discovering this like kind of new passion that you have that you probably wouldn't have discovered. Let's talk about like the friendships first, because it can be really difficult for adults to make new friends. And it's something that people don't talk about until, you're in the depths of adulthood and like, wait, where did all the friends go, But can you talk about like some of the adult friendships you've developed because of Girl Scouts and, just what an impact that has on your Girl Scout experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So both of my co-leaders are and my co-leader for my Trailblazer troop, Laura, also, she's a fantastic person. I'm getting to know more and more, but the friendships you find in scouting are, even when I just go to the leader training weekends or other adult training weekends, you meet people who are like-minded, because if you're willing to volunteer to be a troop leader or any other volunteer within Girl Scouting, you obviously have at least some sort of passion for wanting to make a difference in the world, and for wanting to provide these types of opportunities for girls to get to experience. So there's a certain like-mindedness just inherent by showing up to be a volunteer with Girl Scouts. Like you said, it can be really difficult sometimes to find friends in different places. And just by virtue of having that commonality of wanting to make a difference in the world, there's just a connectedness with those people to just right out of the gate that you kind of can't deny. And then, frankly, you go on these amazing experiences, and some are great, some are not so great, but you're having all these different experiences together. And it's the sharedness of life, the shared experiences of life that you get to have with them. Abby and I joke that there are times where we have spent more time with each other than we have with our spouses, because we're just, off on whatever adventure together and, that sort of a thing. And, it's just kind of what naturally happens. If you're an active troop, you end up spending a lot of time with that person, and you get to know them. And in a lot of ways, it is a little bit like, a long-term relationship, whether that, obviously not a romantic one, but a long-term relationship in the sense of you learn to work together, you learn what each other's strengths and weaknesses are, so that you can either, leverage each other for what we each provide, or for if we need to go outside of the two co-leaders to find another adult that has a specific skill set that we want to bring into the troop. You don't have to commit to taking a troop all 13 years, right? You can just lead for a year or whatever. But at least for all of the folks that I have been leading with, we really saw the benefit of being able to be with the same group of kids all the way through, both for ourselves and for the kids that are in the troops. And so we didn't necessarily voice and say, I'm in it for 13 years, but it was, sort of unspoken that we were just, we were all going to be in to be able to participate in the fun of bringing the troop the whole way through.
It's such a special gift, those relationships, with the other adults, with the girls in your troop. And, the shared experiences, I think that's such a beautiful way to phrase it, because it's like you said, it could be that backpacking experience that, you know, for one person like yourself, you're like, this is awesome. I want to do this all the time. And then the other people who are like, thank you and no thank you. Like, I'm good.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Like, that's what it's all about, trying new things, figuring out your niche. And kind of along that same vein, I think it's so cool, this new passion. And that's the second piece that I really wanted to touch on, was this new passion that you discovered as a result of your, you know, adult Girl Scout experience.
Yeah.
Were you expecting that you would like discover all these new things about yourself and that you would like find these new passions when you decided to be a Girl Scout volunteer?
I don't necessarily say that I'd have the expectation of that, but just by virtue of having been a scout growing up, I know that there's always a new adventure awaiting. And so from that sense, yes, but it, like what it was going to be, I had no idea. And, you know, some of my scouts can attest that I'm like, if there's something that you want to try, I might not be an expert, but I'll figure out how to get there. And if I need to do something, I'll do something. Like, you know, at one point, some of the troops wanted to be doing more archery, and the finances of being able to hire somebody to come out to camp to teach them archery just didn't make sense. And so I was like, fine, I'll go get archery certified. I don't know anything about this, but let's do it. So, you know, for a little while I was certified to lead archery, and I just went and got wilderness first aid certified to be able to take the Trailblazer troop on more remote adventures than what we're allowed to do with the traditional trainings that we get. So, you know, it's like, I'm kind of like, you know, you want to throw an adventure at me, I'll figure out how to do it and let's go. But while I'm willing to do that, I'm also willing to do that for somebody else's adventure to support them along the way. It's not necessarily anything where I'm like, oh, that has been on my list. I wanted to get archery certified. No, but some scouts wanted to, so let's do it, you know? So that from that standpoint, it's been unexpected, the specific skill sets that I've gotten.
Yeah, girl led for even your adventures.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, you are because you have this lifelong Girl Scout experience, like you pretty much knew kind of what you were getting yourself into when you know, decided to be a Girl Scout volunteer. Has there been anything, you know, that you have learned that did surprise you, that you're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming, or, you know, besides the specific kind of areas of expertise that you've had to develop that you just mentioned, you know, were there any skill sets that you learned or anything like that?
Yeah. So I'm a math brain person. Like I'm pretty analytical and that sort of thing. And I'm still certainly not, like most people would not say that I'm like a big touchy feely person. But I've had, I've just been moved. I mean, you hear me crying on the podcast here, but I've just been so moved by so many of the things that these kids have shared with me over time. But the experience of being a safe place for a lot of them, oh gosh, I'm gonna get all teary again. So, you know, that some of these, the kids that come to me don't feel comfortable in whatever community that they're in, be it their family or their school or whatever. And that Girl Scouts as a whole, but also me as a person, can provide a safe space for them to just be themselves and be able to express whatever they've got going on and share that sort of, you know, just share their lives with me is something that I didn't expect. And it's been just such a cool experience to be able to provide that, because it's not something that I'm used to from myself. I'm used to being able to like get stuff done. You know, like be able to facilitate the activities and that sort of thing. But the emotional connection is not something that I had expected in any way. And that's just, you know, that's probably the best part of all of it. You know, it's just getting to know all these people, both adults and kids, as they're going through.
That is so powerful. You know, being that role model and being that safe space, their go-to, you know, someone they know will advocate for them. It's so important. And a lot of people don't realize that there are many kids out there who don't have that kind of person in their life. And when they get to be part of Girl Scouts, they get that, you know, that's a core component of our programming. And I think you said it beautifully, and it's so powerful for kids and makes such a huge impact on them. What was something that you wish you knew before you became a Girl Scout volunteer?
I think one of the things that it takes a little while to experience as when whatever role you're volunteering in is that there isn't a right way to do any of this stuff. Often you can get so bogged down hearing other people's stories. Like, I mean, even just my own story of all these amazing adventures I've taken these kids on. It doesn't have to look that way. Sometimes the adventure is that, you know, you're sitting outside watching the ants crawl on the rocks. And that's just as cool of an experience as traveling and backpacking someplace. And so there's a simplicity in it that's also there. And one of the things that I usually try to say if I'm facilitating a training to new leaders is the possibility that you're opening for them by showing up, whether that's once a month or that's, you know, once every 6 months, if that's what you can commit, whatever that looks like, they're getting an opportunity that they didn't have otherwise. And so, like, we tend to get hard on ourselves as people just in general. And I know I do, about trying to make sure everything's the right way and the perfect way and all that kind of stuff. Through scouting, I've been able to let go of a lot of that because it's girl led. It never looks like what I think it's going to look like ever. literally never will it look the way that I think it's going to look if I'm actually having it be girl led, right? I can force through my way, but that doesn't really do much good for anybody. So that's the part that I wish that I had given myself a little more grace for when I had first started leading, is that there really isn't a right way other than, you know, like making sure people are safe, obviously. But, you know, the overarching thing is there isn't a right way. This is going to be whatever it is. And just know that what you're providing is something amazing for these kids. That's the whole goal.
Yeah, that is such good advice. And especially, you know, in this like Pinterest world, the social media highlight world that we live in, you know, it's like there's this pressure to be perfect in everything we do and you know, to be the best in everything we do. And the best is this like unrealistic expectation, or this, you know, it adds this pressure that is so, it can be, you know, it can be suffocating, you know, the pressure that people experience. And you know, I think that's awesome advice to like, hey, you know, it's okay. Sometimes the greatest adventure or the biggest learning moment is like not this big thing that you think you have to create this big moment. It's like the small moment of like you said, watching the ants on the rock, or like the moment where two girls have to figure out how to manage this conflict together. You know, like those little moments are powerful, and you don't have to do like the Pinterest picture perfect vision of what it should be, you know. Any experience is valid.
It's funny you say that, because I don't even remember which troop it was, but one of my troops, they were daisies, and we were trying to develop a caper chart, and we had gone out to Pinterest and seen all the different, you know, here's a million different Pinterest boards and make sure every girl has a job and blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we thankfully my co-leader and I, it was Abby, my older daughter's co-leader. We were sitting there and we're like, we should probably ask the girls, you know, they might have some jobs that we should add in, you know, because we had done like the promise leader and the law leader and the, you know, snack helper, and we had come up with a lot of them. And one of the kids suggested having a friendship fairy. And we were like, okay, what the hell heck is a friendship fairy going to do, right? And so we said, okay, tell us some more about that. And they were like, oh, well, the friendship fairy's job is to watch and look for any of the kids that aren't participating in the activities, or if they're feeling a little left out, and their job is to go and check in on them and make sure they're okay and bring them back as part of the group. And I was like, oh, if like, you know, we couldn't have created anything better than that, you know? And so just, you know, like I said, the whole like Pinterest thing about it, we let go and we let the girls lead, even as they're in either kindergarten or first grade or something. And so, you know, just letting them take the lead of what it was. And it was just really a beautiful example of how that can work.
I love that. I feel like I need like a friendship fairy to follow me around in life. Like that just sounds so lovely.
Yeah, exactly. It was just the sweetest thing. And so perfect.
Yeah. We've talked about so many incredible things today. And I think you've provided so many reasons why someone might want to become a Girl Scout volunteer. What is something that you would share with somebody who was like considering it? You know, they're kind of on the fence, they're not sure if it's the right fit for them. Like, what would you tell them?
I think that I would let them know that there are so many ways that you can volunteer with Girl Scouts. You know, I've talked a lot about being a troop leader and a tiny bit about being a facilitator, but there's so many different capacities that you can come and participate and volunteer with scouting. I think a lot of people don't necessarily recognize some of their own personal skill sets. And so if you have any sort of passion about anything, you can come and teach girls about it. You know, it's an incredible gift. Like, I know nothing about any of the crafting stuff with yarn. Like I can, you know, do a knit stitch and that's about it. And so, you know, if knitting is your thing, you can come in and teach a troop, even if it's just, you know, you only have, you know, 2 days in a year that you're willing to volunteer. That's fantastic. That's provides so much experience to one of the troops that you could impact. There isn't something that's too little in the sense of whatever you can provide or volunteer for. There's nothing that's too little. Everything can be used in a great way. And there's still, you know, amazing opportunities if you want to take on a big role too, there, you know, both ways, but anybody can come and volunteer and make a difference in Girl Scouts, no matter what role you choose to take on.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, it's one of those things that people don't realize about Girl Scouts. Is there anything else that you're like, people don't know this, and I wish people knew this about Girl Scouts?
Yeah. So one of the things that drives me a little bit crazy, you know, obviously I'm pretty passionate about the outdoor stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that Boy Scouts do, and I'm not trying to knock on Boy Scouts, but there's a lot of stuff that Boy Scouts do in particular around outdoor adventuring, you know, knife skills and, you know, learning all the building fires and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, I didn't know Girl Scouts did that. We do everything, like literally anything that these girls can dream up. That's what we do. And so if they want to learn knife skills, we'll teach them knife skills. If they want to go backpacking, we'll teach them how to backpack. If they want to go and learn about, you know, outer space, whatever stuff, we'll go teach them about outer space stuff. You know, there's literally, it is limitless to what they can experience through Girl Scouting. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get them to that experience. And so, you know, again, not trying to knock Boy Scouts, but there's something really unique about being able to participate in Girl Scouts because it's a creation all the time. It's whatever these kids dream up that they want to do. There's not a prescribed format that you have to follow. And so it's just a really unique opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And Girl Led is really that magic sauce. Like that's yes. What sets Girl Scouts apart, and it's one of the only opportunities in a girl's life that she gets to take the lead, even from like the youngest of ages. You've shared a lot about Girl Led. Can you kind of explain a little bit, like, how do you manage Girl Led, like, at, you know, for like our littlest leaders compared to, you know, your girls who just graduated from high school?
Yeah, absolutely. So Girl Led is a progression through the entire time of scouting. And so, you know, starting at the Daisy level, it means that as a leader, you have to let go of your expectations and be following what the girls want. And so it doesn't mean you just completely turn over control and like, woo, willy-nilly. But, you know, as a Daisy Girl Scout, it might be looking at something and like, okay, well, here's the three badges that we're thinking about starting to work on. Let's take a vote of which one of these three we want to do. Or it might look like, you know, we're talking about an activity, a place to donate our cookie money to, or a location to donate our hometown heroes cookies to. Should we go to the fire department, or should we go to the, you know, the first responders, or should we go to the nurses at the local hospital, whatever that might be. So it's as a Daisy Scout, it's a little bit more, I think, about providing choices, where most of the time, you know, in kindergarten and first grade, you're kind of being told what to do most of the time. And so just having a choice in, even if it's a limited selection, but providing choice. And then secondarily, still as a leader, listening to what the kids want, because like you might have thought of the, you know, the police and the first responders and the nurses, but maybe they want to go and give the cookies to the bus drivers at the school. Okay, cool. Let's do that. You know, so it's not that they can't create something from nothing also, but it's most often looks like choosing between when they're in Daisy Scouts. And just slowly throughout the years, I have provided them more opportunities to be the ones selecting what the thing is that we're doing. So like as Brownie Scouts, we would literally set out every single badge that was available. We had a little like fly, you know, the old pamphlets on the badge requirements, and we'd have voting cans, and everybody would get their little voting chips and drop them into whatever they wanted. And, you know, the kids were like, well, what are the rules on the chips? There are no rules. You know, like if you want to put all five of your chips in that one badge to make sure that we do that one badge, cool, put all five of them in there. If you want to put it at five different ones, do that too. So, you know, again, expanding the selection and expanding what the opportunity is as Brownies. And then as juniors, we started letting them pick their own choices of destinations that they wanted to go to. So like one of my troops, we went up to Mackinac with them and spent a long weekend up at Mackinac doing all the Mackinac stuff. And my other troop, they wanted to go rock adventuring. So we went down to Hawking Hills with them and did a, you know, weekend long adventure down in Hocking Hills, but they can start even as young as juniors and then on up to start planning adventures if that's what they want, or again, planning badges. And as juniors and cadets, the girl ed comes in where the badge work, they can start to lead those badges. And so it looks a little bit more like, oh, you want to earn the, I don't know, the jewelry badge. Okay, well, how are we going to do that? And then they can really start to choose not only that they want to earn that badge, but how we're going to earn that badge. And then by the time they're seniors and ambassadors, I don't want to say it's hands off, but pretty much we kind of stood back and said, okay, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we want to do, you know, whatever it is that, you know, we want to go to the escape rooms and we want to take a big trip and we want to volunteer a bunch and cool, let's do that. You know, and so, and even as seniors and ambassadors, they were scheduling the things like we have volunteered a few times for food gatherers. So the scouts and the troop would go and contact food gatherers, schedule the time, send out the calendar to the troop, like really manage the whole thing. And my co-leaders and I are there more as advisors than as necessarily directing the flow or, you know, doing all the action and activities that way. One of the cool things then too is that in my Trailblazer troop, where it's cadet, senior, and ambassador, some of the ambassador scouts are leading the activities to teach the cadets how to do like fire starting or knife skills or any of that sort of thing. While it's not a mandate that you have to work with younger girls, it's certainly an opportunity that these kids can have, because there's, you know, obviously a captive audience, if you will, of folks that want this education and an opportunity given to them. So having these older scouts be able to lead for younger scouts not only gives them the opportunity to lead the younger people the opportunity to learn, but then also the younger people the opportunity to see what the future could be for them within scouting and just in general, what they might be capable of in a few years down the road, kind of thing.
And what a cool progression to be able to see over the years too, like yeah. To watch girls grow in that way. And that yeah. Must be so powerful to be there for.
Yes, I was like bawling my eyes out at our last little hurrah with my older troop, because, you know, most of them I'd known since first grade. A few of them joined later on, but most of them I'd known for, you know, 12, 13 years. And to watch their own growth. Just as a human being, but also even in the specific things that you get to do within scouting is just, I mean, it's nothing else to call it, but just the coolest experience to be able to be along for that ride and help assist them on that journey.
So, so powerful.
Yeah.
Stacey, is there anything else that you were hoping we would get to chat about today that we haven't gotten to yet?
No, I don't think so. Actually, you know, yeah, we kind of talked about a lot. So.
We sure did. So, we sure did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, the best gift ever. You know, to be able to be a Girl Scout.
I completely agree. We are so lucky to be part of an organization that, you know, impacts the world in the way that it does. So, and I'm so thankful to have volunteers like you, who are just incredible and who do so many amazing things and make so many amazing things possible for our girls. So thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for joining me today. It was really awesome chatting with you and getting to know you a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome to chat with you as well.
Of course. It was my pleasure. To all of our listeners, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to do so by clicking the beautiful subscribe button that you see, and then go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. This will really help us to grow the podcast, reach new audiences, and it shows people that this is a podcast worth listening to. From there, go ahead and share this episode on your social media. Help us spread the word, because you never know who might be listening and looking for something just like what Stacey has found in Girl Scouts and the experience that might be waiting for them there. So thanks again for joining us today. And until our next adventure, be bold, be brave, and leave each place a whole lot better than you found it.